Welcome to all those that are joining us for the Shir and Likutei Halachos today. Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Purim, Halacha Gimel, Paragraph Vav. Before we begin, today's Shir is sponsored by our close friend from New York, Mr. Nathan Rudy, Nisim Ben Naomi, for his Hatzlacha and the Hatzlacha of his father, Ezra Ben Seti, and the entire family. And today's Shir is also Le'ilui Nishmas, my uncle and aunt, who both passed away on the same day, years apart. Today, Yudalet Av, Avraham God ben Nosson Yaakov, Chaya Finkel bas Reb David. And the Shir is also for a complete refuah shalema for Menachem ben Risha Basha, Akiva Michoel ben Sora Huva, Shmoldoi ben Fruma Perel, Chavaliba bas Merim Dvoiro, David ben Leyaliba, Yusbehendel bas Gitalea, and all the others that need a complete refuah, especially Chana Esther bas Ayela Hadar. Okay, we mentioned that this halacha is based on chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which is a major, major Rosh Hashanah shir of Rabbi Nachman, where he discusses many different topics. And we've touched on some of the topics so far. We're going to continue from where we left off. Paragraph of. Gam homon horosho rotzo lehizgaber chas v'shalom al Yisrael al yidei bechinas pegam hamishpot hamavur b'mayim ranal. Rav Nosson Zal explained earlier that homon amolek represent pegam abris, which was one of the major issues mentioned in that chapter on Likutei Moran. The Pasuk says, when Amalek came to attack the Jews, Asher korcho baderech. The word korcho means he happened to come upon you, but the word korcho is also miloshim keri, all these Sforim HaKadoshim write, that Amalek represents the issue of pegam abris, sins related to the relationship between men and women. However, Rabbeinu Zal in that same chapter in Likutei Moran also speaks about another major issue, which is pegam hamishpot, when there's any type of injustice. Ayin Shom Heitev, look over there in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal brings up inyan pegam hamishpot, shenase al yidei tfilin roim. Rabbeinu Zal there speaks about the pegam, the damage that's caused to mishpat, to justice, when there are bad tefillin. This is the term that Rabbeinu Zal uses over there. Dahainu, and Rabbeinu Zal explains what this refers to is, al yidei shemalin tipas esav yishmoel. We mentioned previously that the sechel of a person, the mind of a person, is compared to a burning candle. And a burning candle requires fuel, oil. And Rabbeinu Zal had explained that the oils of the body, the liquids of the body, are what nurture the brain. Specifically, when we talk about liquids here, we're speaking about the zera, the seed. So that when a person keeps the bris holy, when a person limits and sanctifies their relationship between man and woman, then the oils of the body are contained and are able to feed that candle, feed the brain. When there's pegam abris, chas v'shalom, when a person wastes seed or misplaces the seed or chas v'shalom, too much seed, that type of concept, that causes the brain to lose out on the nourishment that it needs. Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran that when these liquids are going up to the brain, a person has to be careful to make sure that it's only healthy liquids that are going up to the brain, not unhealthy liquids. We know that there's certain liquid that needs to be removed from the body, otherwise it could poison the body on a physical level, the urine that leaves the body. On a spiritual level, Rabbeinu Zal there in Likutei Moran speaks about the tipas esav yishmoel, the droplet that's associated with Esav and Yishmoel, who are the two major forces of evil. They are the leaders of the 70 nations that oppose Klal Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran speaks about the fact that we have to be careful not to allow this Tipas Esav Yishmoel to go up to the brain together with those liquids and thereby mess up the brain and mess up the tefillin. Tefillin is referred to as moichin in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus. And again, for more information on this, look in Likutei Moran, Torah Hei, the middle of paragraph Yud, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'lozet srichin kishur hamarkova. Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, in order to ensure that this droplet of Esav Yishmoel does not get involved, does not get included in the liquids that go up to the brain and harm the brain and harm the tefillin, this requires kishur hamerkova, binding the throne of Hashem, shehu bechinas kisois lemishpat, which is referred to as mishpat, the chair of justice. Ayin shom heitev. Look over there in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this. Vehine, we mentioned in the previous shir that the kishur hamerkava refers to the angels. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, merkavoi argamon, that the throne, the chariot of Hashem, is argamon. Argamon means purple, and argamon is also the first letters of the angels that are associated with the throne of Hashem. And we mentioned that before we go to sleep at night, when a person is sleeping in the evening, that's when they're vulnerable to this pigam of mikre laila, which we touched on previously. And therefore, before we go to sleep, we declare the kishur hamerkava. We say, Mimini Michoel, Mismoili Gavriel, Milfonai Oiriel, Umeachoire Rafoel, Varoish Shinaskel. And by declaring, by mentioning the names of these holy angels that are the parts of the throne of Hashem, this is referred to as Kishur Hamerkova. Vehine Homon Horosh Yimach Shemoi Hoyom Yizera Agag. The evil Homon was from the descendants of Agag, the king of Amalek. Vehizgaber al Yisrael al Yidei Pegam Shaul. And Haman was able to rise to power and to jeopardize the whole Jewish nation due to a mistake by Shaul HaMelech. Shepogam b'melchemes Amalek. Shaul HaMelech committed a grave mistake in the battle against Amalek. Shehishir es Agag Chai. He allowed the king of Amalek, Agag, to remain alive for one night. V'chomal al meitav hatzoyim. And he also had pity on the quality sheep and animals of Amalek. And rather than following the clear instructions of Hashem, as given to him by Shmuel Anavi, destroy everything, men, women, children, cattle, sheep, everything that belongs to Amalek should be erased. Shaul HaMelech did not do this. V'zeh b'chinas pigam ha-mishpat. This is considered a mistake in mishpat, in judgment. Shebo al yidei tefillin roim, which comes about when the tefillin have been damaged. Rabbeinu Zal uses this term tefillin roim, bad tefillin, al yidei shemalin el hamoyach tipas esav yishmoel. When we mistakenly allow the droplets of Esav and Yishmoel to go up and feed the brain and defile the brain, mess up the thinking of the person. Kireshis Goyim Amalek, because the Torah tells us that Amalek is the chief, the king of all nations. Kihu Kol Me Esav Yishmoel. Amalek is a combination of the evil of Esav and Yishmoel. We know that Esav was a son-in-law of Yishmoel. So these two are partners in crime. Shehem Klolius Kol Ha'umos. They represent together all 70 nations of the Goyim. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the 70 nations are split up into two groups of 35 each. Esav is in charge of one unit of 35 nations, and Yishmoel the other unit of 35 nations. Kihu Reishis Goyim, because Amalek is referred to as the leader of the nations. the kolul mikulam. He's a composite of all of them, of all the evil that's found in all 70 nations. That's all included in Amalek. There's a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis where it uses the words rak ra kol hayoim, only evil all day. And the last letters of rak ra kol hayoim spell the word Amalek. Amalek is wall-to-wall evil. Vehu ikar zuamas hanochosh. And Amalek is the real essence of the tuma of the original snake that caused Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Bechinas tipas Esav Yishmoel. This droplet of Esav and Yishmoel, she'ein lohem tikun, which we cannot repair. There's nothing we can do to fix that, to be able to integrate that into holiness. We have to simply get rid of it and keep it out. V'alkein nitzave shol lahachrimon. And this is why Shol HaMelech was instructed to destroy them completely, the nation of Amalek. Mishoer ad seh, from the ox to the sheep. Migomol ad chamor, from the camel to the donkey. La'abed zichram legamri, to erase any memory of them, any remembrance of them. Ki kol hadvorim sheba oilom tzrichin tikun, because everything in the world requires repair, tikun. Ki kulam nifgimu al yidei chet odom arishon shepogam betipe amoyach, because everything in the world was damaged as a result of the sin of Adam HaRishon, which caused damage to the droplets of the brain, shehu bechinas hechtim besoroi, which Rabbeinu Zal refers to as a tumor of the flesh, a choisim of the sitra achra. Vayidezeh kol hadvorim noflu baklipo, and as a result of Adam and Chav eating from the Eitz Hadas, this caused everything to fall into tumor, into the klipa. And we are involved constantly at all times in repairing everything in the world, to elevate them, and to sort them out, to extract them, to remove them from the tumor, from the klipper, from the tumor of the flesh, to elevate everything to the brain, sheshom nistaknin kol hanitzoitzos, because it's in the brain, it's in thought, machshava, that all holy sparks get repaired. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, ki kulam b'machshava is bariru, everything gets refined and improved and perfected in the brain, if the brain is functioning properly, obviously. Ki ze ikar hatikun, because this is the main repair that we need to accomplish in this world, leha'alois kol hanitzoitzois shenoflu baklipa, to elevate all the holy sparks that fell into the tumor, shenispashtu bechol hadvorim sheboilam, and which have become spread out in all the different things in the world, bedoimim, in the inanimate objects, soimeach, plants, chai, animals, medaber, human beings, al yidei chet Adam HaRishon, as a result of the sin of Adam HaRishon, leha'aloisam el hamoyach. Our mission is to elevate all of those holy sparks to the level of the brain. Sheze bechinas shemalin mebechinas hechtim besoroi lebechinas moichin tfilin hamavur b'maymar anal. This is the concept of elevating everything and removing it from the state that's described as hechtim besoroi, the flesh is impure, elevating it to the level of chosam of kedusha. We mentioned that tefillin is referred to as the chosam, simeni ka chosam alibech, kas chosam alzroyech, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Aval, however, yesh dvorim she'osur lanu lesakein, there are things which we are forbidden to try to repair. Ki hein bechinas tipas Esav Yishmoel. They are associated and similar to this droplet of Esav and Yishmoel, she'ein lohem shum tikun, which we cannot repair. V'zeh b'chinas kol ha'isurim shebetoyra. And this explains all the different things that are off limits to us in the Torah. We are not allowed to eat this food. We're not allowed to eat this. We're not allowed to... All those isurim represent things ki hein b'chinas tipas esa v'yishmoel, b'chinas zu amas anochosh she'en lahim tikun. All of those things are in the category of the droplet of Esav and Yishmael, which is the real essence of the tumah, of the original snake, which cannot be repaired by us. The Adarabba, and just the opposite, not only that, kishemalin oisam chas v'shom alamoyach, if we chas v'shom make a mistake and we try to elevate that droplet of Esav Yishmael to the brain, azai nifgam hamoyach, then the brain will be damaged. V'nase kilkul hamishpat, and this will result in a damage, a spoilage of the justice. Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran brings a pasuk that's written about Shlomo HaMelech, where the Torah describes the chokhma of Shlomo HaMelech. It says he was very smart, lasos mishpat. So we see again, the mishpat comes from the seichel of a person. When a person's brain is thinking correctly, that's when the person can make proper choices and decisions. A person can have the proper mishpat. The pasuk is in the beginning of Malachim Aleph, where it says, Ki ro'u ki chokhma selikim bekirboi lasos mishpat. That in one of the cases where Shlomo HaMelech judged a certain litigation, the people saw that he has the knowledge of Hashem in him, chokhma selikim bekirboi lasos mishpat. So we see that the moichin and the mishpat go together. When the moichin are in good working order, then there's proper mishpat. When the moichin get damaged, then there's kilkula, pegama mishpat, or kilkula mishpat. So when we try chas v'shalom to elevate this tumah, this tipas eis of Yishmael to the brain becomes damaged, the mishpat becomes damaged. And this is what really causes an increase in pigama bris, mikre laila chas v'shalom, all of these things. Mikre laila means an accidental emission that a man has during the night. V'alkein amolek shehu zuam asanochosh b'chinas tipa seisav Yishmael anal. And this is why the nation of Amolek, which is the real tumah of the snake, the droplet of Esav and Yishmael, al kein osur lahashir mimenu shum zecher boilam. Therefore, we are instructed by Hashem not to leave any remembrance of them in the world. V'al kein nitztave lahomis afilu behemois. And this is why Shaul HaMelech was commanded to kill even their animals. Mishoyer atzeh, the ox, the sheep, ki kulam hein bechinas tipas Esav v'Yishmael she'en lohem shum tikun, because the nation of Amalek and all of its possessions are in this category of tipas Esav v'Yishmael, which cannot be repaired. V'osur lasuk b'hem l'saknom u'la'alois melamoichem, and it is forbidden for us to get involved with them, to try to repair them, to try to elevate them to the moyach. Because the brain will be damaged by these elements if we attempt to elevate them to the moichin, to the sechel. And Shaul HaMelech unfortunately made a terrible mistake, and he did the wrong thing regarding this. He allowed Agag, the king of Amalek, to remain alive. V'chomalolov, and he had pity on him, v'al metav hatsoin, and on the quality sheep that he saw. And the people were telling Shaul HaMelech, lizboyach Lashem, we'll bring karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll use these sheep to bring sacrifices. And Hashem said, who needs your sacrifices? I need you to follow instructions. V'zeh pegam godol mo'oid. This was a major, major damage and destruction. Bechinas pegam hatfilin anal. This is the pegam of the tefillin that Rabbeinu Zal mentions over there in Likutei Moran, when chas v'shalom the tipas eis of Yishmael goes up to the brain. ki haya roitze lehalois lekorban behemoy shel Amalek. Because Shaul HaMelech and the people wanted to use the animals of Amalek for korbanos. Ki ikar ha-korban hu b'china hanal. Because in actuality, Rav Nosson Zal explains, this is the whole concept behind the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, these sacrifices. Shemalin u'mesaknin koyach ha-behemiyis, shehu koyach ha-medame, u'mesaknin o'isoy b'b'china sodon. In bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, we are elevating and repairing the animal, the animalistic desires in us, the animal power, which is referred to as koyach hamedame also, and we're repairing it and elevating it to the status of Adam. Kemoy shekosuv, as it says clearly in the Torah when it speaks about bringing korbanos, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem min habehema. An Adam who will bring from yourselves a sacrifice to Hashem from the behema. Takrivu es korbanchem, you should bring your korbanos. Ki ze ikar ha-korban. Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here what the Sifrei Kabbalah explain, what the Sifrei Chassidus explain, that this is really the spiritual meaning of what happens when a Jew brought a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Lahalois mi behema la'adam. We're trying to elevate ourselves from the category of behema to the level of Adam by taking this animal and bringing parts of it on the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the holiest place in the world, and into the brain of the world, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Shezeh b'chinas shemal and b'chinas hechtim b'soroi l'b'chinas moichin tefillin. This is an example of what Rabbeinu Zal describes over there in Likutim Ram, that we're elevating something from the state of the impurity of the flesh, the b'chinas behema, to the b'china of moichin tefillin, sechel, tefillin, which is the status of Adam. Kimavur b'maim ranal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutim Ram, ayin shom heitev. Study it well in Likutim Ram to understand this very clearly. The Shaul and Shaul HaMelech Sherotzo Lahalois Likorban Bahamois Amalek. Shaul HaMelech, who wanted to use the animals that belong to Amalek as Korbanois, Shehu Bechinas Tipa Seisa V'Yishmoel Alkein Pogam B'Tfilin. This caused damage to the tefillin, to the moichin, to the seichel. Ki kishemal in tipas Esav Yishmoel, because when we attempt to elevate the droplet of Esav or Yishmoel, ayideze nifgam hamoichin, this damages the seichel, v'hatfillin, v'nase kilkul hamishpot chas v'shon. And this causes a messed up, an injustice, the opposite of proper justice. So that was one mistake, the animals, leaving the animals alive. V'chein pogam b'ma shechom al agag. And so too, Shaul HaMelech committed a grave mistake and sin in taking pity on Agag. Ki osur l'rachim aleim, because it is forbidden to have pity on Amalek. Ki horachmonus hi hadas, kemuva de Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal brings in many places in the Likutim Ram that Rachmonos and Das go together. It's only a person who's intelligent who understands what Rachmonos is. And it's only through proper Mishpat that you can have Rachmonos. Rachmonos is not those horrible liberals who take criminals, murderers, and don't want to imprison them. We don't want to make them suffer or anything. They want to leave them on the street so more innocent people can get killed. That's this kilkul hamishpat, which comes from a misplaced kindness. There's a famous pasuk, rachmei reshoim achzori. The rachmonis of evil people is really achzorius, viciousness, meanness. Those people, I remember Rav Rosenfeld's around, used to speak about people who have pity on dogs. You know, they're very concerned about the welfare of the dogs, but they're not afraid if these dogs will bite people, chas v'shalom, or bring diseases or other things, chas v'shalom. The wrong type of pity. And also, that's one definition of this pasuk. Another definition is, rachmei rishon, the rachmonus on a rosha, the proper rachmonus to show on a rosha is achzorius. You have to be mean. You have to be able to be tough with the Russia, chas v'shalom. Otherwise, chas v'shalom, it can cause worse harm. And again, obviously, all of this requires elaboration, explanation, depending on circumstances. What type of Russia are we talking about? Here we're talking about Amalek, who's a very unique type of Russia, the exception to all rules. Nimtza. So therefore we see, kishemarachmim alechod, mamshichen olav das. When we have rachmonis on someone, we're drawing das on that person. As Rabbi Nizal says in the beginning of chapter 7, in the second half of the Kutaran, the most important rachmonis that you could possibly show on a person is giving them das, giving them sechel. Because all suffering and death is the result of sin. And sin is the result of lack of das, Rabbi Nizal explains. A person doesn't commit a sin unless a spirit of foolishness, silliness goes into them. So the greatest rachmonis you can have on a person is giving them das, making them aware of their purpose of life, their mission in life. V'yalkein, and therefore, kishehoye loy rachmonis al Agag melech Amalek, when Shaul HaMelech showed pity on Agag, the king of Amalek, pogam b'tfilin. Through this, he damaged the tefillin, the moichin. Ki helo chas v'shalom es Amalek, shebchin es tipas eisa v'yishmoel, el horachmonis v'adas. Because by doing this, Shaul HaMelech elevated Amalek, this Agag, this tipas eisa v'yishmoel, into rachmonis, into das. Vaydeze nase pegam ha-mishpot. And this damaged the justice, the decision-making. V'alkein to'o bekamodvorim. And this is why the Torah tells us that this led Shaul HaMelech made many different mistakes in Mishpat. Ki hoyodon es David v'esnoiv irakoyanim kimordim b'malchus. Because Shaul HaMelech drew the conclusion, he came to the decision that David HaMelech is a criminal and it's a mitzvah to kill him. He rebels against the king. And he also judged the city of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim as being rebellious against the king, and he murdered, he had them all killed, a city of Koyanim. V'don v'shofatoysam b'miso sheloi kadin. Shaul HaMelech came up with a judgment against David HaMelech and Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim that they deserve death penalty, and he was wrong. V'cheinom Rabbi Seinuzal, and the Gemara tells us, she'Shaul loizocho la'asuke shmaitse elibe dehilchasa, that Shaul HaMelech was not privileged to understand the Torah properly, to be able to draw the right conclusions, to be able to come up with the correct halacha in the study of Torah Shebaal Peh. Hainu bechinas pegama mishpat. This means lack of mishpat. Al yidei pegama nal. As a result of improper, as a result of making a mistake regarding Agag, regarding the sheep of Amalek. V'alkein nitrad mimalchus. And because of this, Shaul HaMelech was removed from the kingdom. Ki ikar malchus digdusha tolui bozeh. Because the whole essence of the kingdom of holiness is dependent on this, b'mechias Amalek, eliminating Amalek. Shehu b'chinas tikun abris, which means achieving tikun abris, getting rid of the pegam abris, the carry. Ki malchus digdusha hu b'chinas isha yiras Hashem. Because the holy kingdom is referred to as the woman of holiness, the woman of deep respect for Hashem, she'ikar kiyuma al yidei tikun abris, whereby the Shechina, the divine spirit of Hashem, this Isha Yiras Hashem, this Malchus of Kedusha, its whole existence and success is dependent on tikun abris, shehu toloi b'mechias Amalek, which is dependent on erasing, wiping out Amalek. V'zeh she'omar Shmuel l'shol. And this is why when Shmuel HaNavi is told by Hashem about the terrible mistake that Shaul HaMelech did, that he didn't listen to the instructions, Shmuel HaNavi says to Shaul HaMelech, Oisi Sholach Hashem Lemeshach HaChol HaMelech Al Yisrael. Hashem sent me to anoint you as a king over the Jewish people. V'ata, and now Leich V'hikisa. I'm sorry. This is when Shmuel Hanavi was giving Shaul HaMelech his mission. Your mission is, Hashem sent me to appoint you as a king. Now go and strike Amalek. Showing, Ki tikun malchusoi shehu malchus digdusha hayatolu bozeh. The pasuk is showing us that the establishment of the holy kingdom was dependent on this, was dependent on dealing with Amalek correctly. V'alkein, and therefore kishepogam bozeh, when Shaul HaMelech did the wrong thing, chas rachmon al islam, nitrat min amalchus, he was taken out of the kingdom. K'may shekosuv, as we find Shmuel HaNevi tells him afterwards, Ya'an mo'asto es dvar Hashem, because you showed such disrespect to the word of Hashem, vayim oscha mimelech, Hashem has despised you from allowing you to continue to be king. Kana. Rav Nosson Zal is going to continue to explain Shaul HaMelech's ancestry now, how he comes from Binyamin, and how all of that ties into this. Any questions before we continue, please?
How does this compare to when Chizkiyahu received a message from a Navi and he said, there is hope, I can do tshuva from this, versus Shaul, where it seems like it's the final decree?
Very good question. We have a case of Chizkiyo HaMelech, where the Torah says, the Torah praises, tells us how great Chizkiyo HaMelech was, that Hashem actually wanted to make him Moshiach. This is the wording in the Gemara. Because during his time, he did what it took to see to it that every man, woman, and child was educated in Torah on a level that had never existed in the world till then, plus many other wonderful good things that he did. However, he did not get married. And the Torah tells us, because he saw Beruach HaKodesh, that if he were to get married and bring children into the world, his children would be idol worshippers, which would be an incredible disrespect to Hashem, and therefore he made a decision not to get married. Hashem sends the prophet Yeshaya HaNavi to go tell Chizkiyahu HaMelech to prepare to die. Why? Because he didn't fulfill the first mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah is called life, and the first mitzvah he didn't fulfill. So Yeshaya HaNavi comes and tells him this, and Chizkiyahu tries to explain, I had a reason. He said, reason nothing. That's none of your business. What children are going to come? That's kivshayno shalaylam. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech says to him, is there anything I can do to correct this? And Yeshaya HaNavi throws up his hands. He tells him, get out. Because I have a tradition from my forefathers that there's nothing that cannot be repaired. And sure enough, Chizkiyahu HaMelech does tshuva, etc., etc. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a Jew, not just a Jew, but a descendant of Dovid HaMelech, coming from a place of incredible holiness. By a Jew, with incredible holiness, he was able to do tshuva, he was able to correct it. This was the case of Amalek, where the whole kingdom of Hashem, of the Jewish nation, is dependent, as we're being shown now, on the elimination of Amalek. And this was the opportunity in the history of the world, where the opportunity was available to get rid of Amalek once and for all. And Shaul HaMelech didn't listen because of a false modesty. He was king. The people were putting pressure on him, telling him what to do. Someone's telling you what to do? When you're king, Melech Shemochel al Kvoidei ein Kvoidei Mochel. The king is the exception to any other level of authority in Judaism. A parent can forego their kavod. A Talmud Chacham can forego their kavod. A king cannot. And the Torah tells us that even when he was originally crowned, the people didn't show him the proper respect. And the Torah says that he let it slide, and that's also registered as a mistake. It was a mistake. There's a time, again, in Yiddishkeit, this is why it's so important. We stress this all the time. A person cannot learn one page of Torah and draw conclusions. You need to see the big picture. Humility is one of the most important qualities in it is the most important quality in Judaism and in life. But everything has a place. There's a time for humility and there's a time for strength, Azus Digdusha, which the Gemara says a person cannot have a relationship with Hashem, cannot have a relationship with the Torah if they're not strong at certain times. Person knows when to be tough. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which the Tur Shulchan Aruch begins with these words, Hevi az kanomer, be brazen as a leopard, gibor kari, strong as a lion. How can you be humble? How can you be nothing and a lion? The answer is, that's the mission statement of a Jew. Two pockets at all times. In one pocket, I'm nothing and I'm nobody. In the other pocket, I stand taller. I am a prince. Kol Yisrael b'nei melochem heim. I am part of the holiest nation in the world. Asher bochar boni mikol amim. And I'm not afraid of anybody or anything in the face of Hashem. That for Hashem's kavod, I'll stand up to anybody. We find in the introduction to Likutei Halachos, there's a hakdama to this sefer, which we've on our website, we have, when we recorded Likutei Halachos, we have the Hakdama also, where Rav Nosson Zal is telling us why he wrote these books and what these books are all about. He writes over there, he begins by saying, who am I to even dream of writing a sefer? I'm nothing, I'm so far from knowledge and wisdom. He says, however, based on the rabbi that I had, based on the great tzaddik, who shared his knowledge and his wisdom and his midas with me, I'll stand in front of kings and I won't be ashamed and embarrassed to share with them these holy, powerful words that I was privileged to receive from my rabbi. Any other questions, please? I see a very important question. What is the difference between Eitzah Toiva and Mishpat? Good advice and Mishpat. And the answer is they're both very similar. There must be some fine differences where, again, if we look in Rashi, in Chumash, throughout the Tanakh, where these terms are used, we might see certain fine differences. But in essence, on a general level, they're very similar. Both of them refer to when there's choices to be made and a person has to use the proper chachma bina vodas and midos toivos to be able to know what the right decision to make, what the right choice is to be made. Okay, let's continue, please. Now Rav Nosson Zal clarifies further, telling us about the lineage of Shaul HaMelech. Ki be'emes Shaul nivchar la'melech harishon al Yisrael. The truth is that Shaul HaMelech was chosen to be the first king of the Jewish nation. Ki hu bechinas kishur ha'merkava. Because Shaul HaMelech represents this binding together of the throne of Hashem, Shehu Bechinas Tikun HaMishpat, which represents perfection of Mishpat. We mentioned before the Pasuk, Kisois LaMishpat. The throne of Hashem is referred to as the seat of justice. Why? Ki Shol Hoyo Mishevet Binyamin. Shol HaMelech was a descendant of Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin. The Iker Kishur HaMerkava Hu Bechinas Binyamin. And the main person who completes the binding together of the throne of Hashem is Binyamin. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Yaakov Avinu Hoyo Mitosoi Shlema. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Avram Avinu had two sons, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And the reason for this was because the impurity, this tumah, this zuamas hanochash, which was injected into Chava during the time of the Eitz Hadas by the snake, in order for the Jewish nation to be able to come out holy and pure, that tumah had to be removed, had to be excreted, ejected. And the way it was done, when Avram Avinu brought two children into the world, he brought Yishmael into the world. The negativity, the tumah, came out of Avram Avinu in the form of Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu is now pure, a certain level of purity. Now Yitzchak Avinu has two sons, Esav and Yaakov, and Esav pushes his way out first. The impurity goes out in Esav, and now Yaakov Avinu is another level of purity, another level of refinement. And now the 12 tribes, the 12 children that came from Yaakov Avinu, are referred to as Mito Shlema, a perfect bed, all pure. Ki kvar nizbarer tipas Esav Yishmoel achutz, because the droplet of Esav and Yishmoel had already been ejected, had already been removed outside. Va'ayin kol ze behilchas chele v'dam ma shebi'arnu sham. Rav Nosson Zal says, for more information on this topic, take a look in Likutei Halachos Yoredeya, in the laws of Chelev and Dam, where Rav Nosson Zal elaborates on this. V'alkein hoyo Yaakov b'chinas tikun ha-mishpat. And it's because of this reason that we find the term mishpat, tikun ha-mishpat, in the Torah used not about Avram Avinu, used more so about Yaakov Avinu. Kamashikosuv, as it says clearly in Tehillim, Mishpat utzedaka beYaakov ato osiso. Hashem, you generated Mishpat and Tzedaka by Yaakov Avinu. Ukamashikosuv, and it says in another pasuk, the pasuk that we announce on Rosh Hashanah, Tiku b'choide shofar b'keslayim chagenu ki choik liYisrael hu Mishpat l'leikei Yaakov, Mishpat to the Hashem of Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu is referred to as Mishpat because Yaakov Avinu was brought into the world after Yishmael and Esav were pushed aside. V'alkein zocho l'tikun habris b'shleimus. And it's for this reason that the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu was zocho to the highest level of tikun habris. V'nishmar legamri mibechinas hechtim besoroi. He was guarded and protected completely from any tumah of the flesh. Kama shekosuv, as it says clearly in the Torah, when he spoke about his firstborn son, he said, Koichi v'reishisoini. This is the first of my seed, which means he had never, chas v'shalom, wasted any seed. V'alkein zocho l'mito shlema. And this is why Yaakov Avinu was zocho to bring a complete, perfect bed into the world, meaning all pure children. V'hoilid shneimosor shiftei kor. He produced 12 holy tribes. Shehem b'chinas tikun v'kishur ha-merkava d'kedusha. And these 12 tribes represent the binding together of the holy throne of Hashem. And the tikkun of the throne, kishne mosor shvotim heim arbo degolim, because the 12 tribes were divided into 4 flags, 4 groups, shehem keneged arbo machnois digdusha, which correspond to the 4 camps of holiness, shehem bechinas merkovoy argomon, which are represented by the 4 legs of the throne of Hashem, kamuva, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah. The Iker Kishur HaMerkava Hu Binyanin. And the main one who completes this process is Binyamin. Ki Hu HaMashlemes HaMito Shlemo Shel Yaakov. He was the one who put the finishing touch, the completion, on the bed of Yaakov Avinu. Kamei Shekosel B'Zohar HaKodesh, as the Zohar HaKodesh speaks about this. Shebishvil ze noilad binyamin be'eretz Yisrael. It's for this reason that Yaakov Avinu made sure to leave the house of Lavan, to get out of there, in order to give birth to his last and final son, Binyamin, in Eretz Yisrael. V'loy etzel Lavan, not in Chutz Loretz, not in the house of Lavan. Kedei shelo yiyeh nishlam hamito, shibichinas merkava dekdusha, etzel Lavan b'chutz Loretz. so that this bed, which represents the throne of Hashem, should not be completed in the house of Lavan in Chutz Loretz, but rather in Eretz Yisrael. Ayin Shom, take a look in the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh expounds on this. Nimtza, so we conclude therefore, She'ikar Shleimus Hamita Digdusha Hu Binyamin, that the main completion and perfection of this holy bed was Binyamin, Shenoilad Bachroina, who was born the last, Shehishlim Es Mito Digdusha, he completed this holy bed of Yaakov Avinu. V'oz kishenoilad Binyamin, Nishlam Hamito Bishleimus. When Binyamin was born, that's when this bed was perfected. Shehi Bechinas Kishur HaMerkava, which is synonymous with the binding together of the throne of Hashem. We know that the Vilna, the Zohar HaKadosh mentions this, and I saw it quoted in the name of the Vilna Goyim, that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the dwelling place of Hashem was the Beis HaMikdash. Today we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The dwelling place of Hashem is by the Tzaddik. The Tzaddikim, they are referred to as the Merkava of Hashem, Kaviyochel, the throne of Hashem. In fact, I believe there's a Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha or Vayera, which Rav Nosson Zal quotes a number of times, where it uses this similar wording about the Tzaddik being the Merkava of Hashem, Kaviyochel. V'alkein zocha binyamin sheyibona habeis hamikdash bechelkoi. And this is why it's specifically the tribe of Binyamin that was zocha, that the Beis Hamikdash was built in their portion of Eretz Yisrael. Ki habeis hamikdash hu bechinas kishur hamerkava. Because Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in the Kutan, the Beis Hamikdash is this place of the binding together of the throne of Hashem. Kishom nistakein v'niskasher hamerkava digdusha, because it's in the Beis Hamikdash that there is elevated and bound together this holy throne. Kishom hoyo hashras hashchina, that was the dwelling place of the divine spirit of Hashem. V'chol inyan hamerkava hanemar b'shir hashirim, and everything that's written in Shir Hashirim about the throne of Hashem, Kama Shekosuv, as it says, Apiryoin Osoloy Amela Shloimoy, Shlom HaMelech built a palace, Amudov Sheish, Merkovoy Argomon, Toycha Rotsufava, Hakol Koi Al Mishkon Ubeis HaMikdash, Kama Shepirish Rashishon. All of those descriptions there in Shir Hashirim of the majesty of Hashem and the throne of Hashem are all referring to the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi points out in Shir Hashirim. V'alkein, and therefore, Iker Tikun HaMishpat Choye B'Beis HaMikdash. The ultimate perfection of justice was in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki B'Beis HaMikdash Choye Lishkas HaGozis. Because in the Beis HaMikdash you had this special room of the Supreme Court, the Lishkas HaGozis. Sheshom Choytchen Halochais. There they would decide the most difficult and complex decisions in Hebrew law. Umishom yoytze ikar hamishpot emes lekol Yisrael. And it's from there that there came forth the real, pure, true justice for all of Klal Yisrael. Kishom hoyos Sanhedrin gedoyle yeshevis. That's where the great Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Klal Yisrael, sat. V'alkein, and therefore, Binyamin, Shehu Bechinas Kishur HaMerkava, Zocho Sheyibona Beis HaMikdash Bechelkoi. And this is why Binyamin, who represents the completion and perfection of the Merkava, that's why the Beis HaMikdash was in his piece of land. Shehu Bechinas Merkava Digdusha, Bechinas Tikan HaMishpat Kanal. V'alkein, Zocho Shehamelech Horishoin Yihia Mizaroi. And this is why Shevet Binyamin was zeicher, that the first king of Klal Yisrael was from his descendants. It says, we'll see later that Mordechai Atzadik also came from Shaul HaMelech, who came from Binyamin. Ki Iker Malchus Digdusha Hual Yidei Bechinas Kishur HaMerkava. Because one of the most important factors in the Holy Kingdom is this binding together of the throne of Hashem. Shehu bechinas tikun ha-mishpat, which means perfection of mishpat. There's a pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quotes in chapter 2 in Likutei Moran, in other places, melech ba-mishpat yamid eretz. The king with mishpat establishes the country. Bechinas tikun ha-bris, which is synonymous with tikun ha-bris, as we learned previously. V'alkein hoyoroi shezaro yachrimu es ha-molek. And therefore, it was perfectly proper and right that the descendant of Binyamin should wipe out Amalek, shehu ha-hepech mamish mibchinas kishra merkava, who is the opposite of the throne of Hashem, bibchinas tikun ha-mishpat, from perfection of mishpat. We know in the Torah it says, ki mochay emche zechra molek. It says ki yod al keisko milchom al Hashem b'molek midor dor. Hashem swears. Hashem places his hand on his throne, declaring the war, to wage war against Amalek from generation to generation. So there it uses the word keis instead of kisei, and it has the word ko instead of yud kei vav kei. And the Gemara says, Ein hakisei sholem ve'ein shem Hashem sholem ad shiyimoche zechra molek. The throne of Hashem is incomplete. The name of Hashem is incomplete until the nation of Amalek will be wiped out. V'alkein, and therefore, Shaul HaMelech shepogam bozeh, who went against all of this, who messed this up, alkein nitrag mimalchus. Therefore, he was disqualified from the kingdom. Ki ikar hamalchus digdusha tolui b'mechias Amalek kanal. Because the whole essence and establishment of the kingdom of holiness is dependent on erasing Amalek. Valide pegamze, dainu pegama mishpat. And through, by messing up in the mishpat, shepogam shol, which Shaul HaMelech messed up, al yidei shehishire sagad, by allowing Agag to remain alive, this meitav hatzoin, and all those quality sheep, this allowed Haman to be born and come along, v'rotzo lehizgaber al Yisrael chasishon, and to want to destroy the Jewish nation. Nimtza, so we see, therefore, we conclude, she'amolek hu tchilas hakilkul v'soif hakilkul. Amalek is the beginning of the damage, and he's the end of the damage. Ki gam tchilas hakilkul, dahinu pegama mishpot, bo al yidei Amalek. Because the beginning of the messing up of the mishpot came about through Amalek, through Shaul HaMelech allowing Agag to be alive and not dealing properly with the nation of Amalek. Al yidei shechom al olav Shaul HaMelech, by Shaul HaMelech having pity on Amalek. And it's through Shaul HaMelech's mistake, Shaul HaMelech's pegam mishpat, that allowed Haman to come along. Kalidei shechom alalov, by Shaul HaMelech having pity on him, nase pegam hamishpat. This caused a major pegam in mishpat, a lack of justice. And that's what empowers Haman Amalek to overpower the Jewish nation with that tumah, that famous tumah of Keri, Pegam HaBris, all the different forms of Pegam HaBris, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on. Any questions, please? Okay, we'll add one small point. I quoted the pasuk earlier of Ki yod al keis ko milchom al Hashem b'molek midor dor. I remember hearing from my Rebbe Rav Rosenthal Zechon Evrocha beautiful chidushim on this pasuk that are found in the Sifrei Chassidus, Sifrei Kabbalah, that the word Yod Yod al Kes Ko, Yod and Ko, refer to Yudalid and Tesvav, which are the two dates of Purim. The regular Purim is on the 14th of Adar, and Shushan Purim, which is celebrated in Yerushalayim and other places, is on the 15th of Adar, which are again the days when we have the major war against Haman, against Amalek. Purim and Shushan Purim. Ki Yod al Kesko Milchomo Lashem Bamolek Midor Dor. This battle against Amalek from generation to generation. Midor Dor. This word Dor is an incredible, incredible, significant word, as we'll show now. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem issued several curses. And one of the curses that Hashem issued was that everything's going to get messed up. Just like we speak about Kilkul HaMishpat, injustice. Injustice means anarchy, chas v'shalom. So Hashem said, V'koitz v'dardar tatzmiach loch. You're going to plant wheat and grains and fruits, and instead of your planting resulting in healthy produce, it's going to generate koitz, thorns, and dardar, thistles. That's what's going to grow. I believe it's the Bnei Yisachar who speaks about this, that emuna in Hashem, faith in Hashem, is represented especially by the letter Dalid, that large Dalid in the word Echad. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there are Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There are six words there. The last letter of the word Echad is a large Dalid in the Sefer Torah, an oversized Dalid. When we speak about idol worship, idols are called Kel Acher. Acher means the other one, Sitra Achra, the other one. There's Echad, Hashem Echad, versus Kel Acher. We know in the Ten Commandments, the first one of the Ten Commandments is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisich Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, I singular, who took you out of Egypt. The second commandment is Lo Yelecha Elokim Acherim Al Ponai. There should not be any idols, any other gods. So it's brought that the words Kel Acher are Bigematria Amalek. Kel Acher, Kel is 31, Acher is 209, is Bigematria Amalek. Kel Acher means idols, the opposite of Hashem. So it's the battle between Hashem Echad versus Acher. The word Acher and Echad both have the letters Aleph and Ches. The difference is the difference between the Dalid and a Reish. If you look in a Sefer Torah, how big a difference is there between the letter Reish when it's written and the letter Dalid? It's a tiny, tiny droplet of ink. On the top right side of the Reish, you add a little droplet of ink and it becomes a Dalid. That little droplet could be the difference between faith in Hashem versus idol worship. As the Baal Shem Tov says, Visartem, you'll turn away from Hashem. The slightest turn away from Hashem is a turn in the direction of idol worship. And this is why it's so important for a person to learn a lot of Torah and have the proper rabbi and guidance to teach us the difference between emuna and kfira, faith in Hashem versus idol worship, atheism. Because sometimes there could be a very fine line. And if a person doesn't study Torah properly, a person can become an apikores, an atheist, an idol worshiper, because they misinterpreted Chas V'Shalom the Torah. They weren't given the proper education, the proper guidance in knowing what emuna and Hashem really is all about. Now that difference between Dalid and Reish, Dalid is 4, Reish is 200. The difference between Dalid and Reish is 196, which is the word koitz, a thorn. The curse of Hashem to Adam and Chava was, v'koitz v'dardar tatzmiach loch. Koitz is the difference between the Dalet and Reish, and Dardar is Dalet Reish, Dalet Reish. That's the emphasis. The difference between Jew and Lahavdil Goy, the difference between a believer and a non-believer, is the difference between the Dalet and the Reish. The difference between Hashem Echod versus Kel Acher, or Elokim Acherim. And this is why we have in the Gemara, the Gemara tells the story of one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, who went up to a very, very high place in heaven, but he wasn't prepared properly. He didn't have the proper kelim, and it blew his circuits, and he became confused. It looked to him as if there's two in heaven. And from that point on, the Gemara says, we don't mention his name anymore. He's not quoted by his name, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, he's called Acher. Because again, this word Acher means lack of faith in Hashem Echod. And that's the pasuk, Melchomo Hashem ba'amolek midor dor. The battle against Amolek is this battle from generation to generation. It's the battle, it's the Dalet versus the Reish. And this is why we find in Ashrei, for example, Doer ledoer yeshabach masecha. One generation to the next generation is supposed to communicate, we're supposed to teach our children about Hashem's greatness. That again, the Dalet and the Reish. Ledoer vodoer nagid godlecha ulanetzach nitzoch l'dusha. All of these psukim are tied into this. I'm giving you a little bit of what the Bnei Yisachar there explains and shows throughout the Torah, this incredible, important theme. And again, this is the battle between Amalek, this is the holiday of Purim, the defeat of Haman, this Kiyod al Kesko Melcham al Hashem Amalek. And when Amalek will be defeated completely, then it will not be Kes, it'll be Kisei, and it won't be Ko, it'll be Yud Kei Vav Kei. And this is also, we say in Shmone Esrei, V'chisei David avdecho mehera l'soicha tochen, that Hashem should establish the throne of David HaMelech. Not case, but kisei David. Okay, we'll hold it over here for now. Any questions before we close?
I don't understand the last part of the Dori Shabbat and Sefer. How is that happening?
Dor le dor is Shabbat Masecha is the tikkun for the dardar. Dardar is thistles. When there's no emunah in Hashem, when we go against Hashem, when Adam and Chava went against the command of Hashem, that's called idol worship. That resulted in dardar, thistles. The tikkun for it is every Jewish father who teaches his son, every rabbi who teaches his student, Dor ledor yeshabach masecha, the praises of Hashem. Ledor vador nagid gotlecho, teaching, passing on this heritage, this tradition of faith in Hashem. That's the most important limud. I saw the question was raised about the difference between the Tipas Esav and Yishmael. I am not prepared, unfortunately, to explain that now. Again, I know that in the Sifrei Chassidus and the Sifrei Kabbalah, there is a lot of discussion on this. I know, for example, the Bnei Yisachar mentions that these two, Esav and Yishmael, represent on a general level the Klipa of Rome, Edoim, and the Arabs. And he mentions that we have the Jews, we have Shabbos Kodesh. Our holy day is Shabbos. The Arabs celebrate Friday. The other religions celebrate Sunday. This one is to the right. This one is to the left. We are the center. We are the middle. They are both off center. The center is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is the real holy day, the day that Hashem declared as holy. Esav chose Sunday, and Yishmael chose Friday. And this is just one example where the Sifrei Chassidus explain where these klipos are, how they appear in all aspects of life and the world. Baruch Hashem.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Thanks very much.
Thanks to all of you.
Thank you so much, Rav Nosson. Have a good day.
All the best.
Thank you.